Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody for tuning in tonight. Of course, that was Walking on Water. That's a new release by David Yusigian of the Hooters and his buddy Tommy Conwell, who wrote it. We want to thank David for the use of that song on the air. Want to let everybody kind of know what's going on with Rockers in Recovery and RIR Radio. RIR Radio is being listened to on the UK RIR Radio Network right now. It's the first night that we are actually being listened to in London. And I want to welcome those listeners tonight and just want to let everybody know that we're here tonight to be able to talk to a great guest, Paul Wilson, a singer-songwriter, who's getting ready to have an event here in South Florida for a 9/11 tribute concert. All the proceeds are going to the Wounded Warriors Project, and Paul's going to be on talking about that. We're also going to have a great guest on that has long-term recovery and is going to be speaking about Recovery Matters. And that is Janet. And, of course, Janet Johnson is a BSW, a CAP, and she has many, many years of great recovery that she'll be able to share with you to spread the message of hope and not the mess. So we look forward to having both of those guys on here. And what we're going to do right now is bring Paul on first. Paul, how you doing, buddy?
Hi, how you doing, John?
Good,
can
man.
You hear me?
Hey, listen, I can hear you now, Paul. Everything's great. Sound the levels are great. So let me ask you, what's going on with you? You're having a 9/11 tribute concert?
Yeah, my son and I were talking, and we hadn't done a show for a while, and we wanted to do a show, and we checked on dates that were available at the venue where we play, and 9/11 came up, and we just got the idea that since it was that date, and it's been 14 years, that we would do a tribute concert for 9/11. And the mess that we've been in and all the soldiers that have come back, all has happened. You know, a lot of stuff happened before 9/11, but there's just been a horrendous amount of stuff happened since 9/11. And the casualties of war and the veterans and the victims and the families and everything has been affected by it. We decided we wanted to do a concert and donate all the proceeds from that concert to the Wounded Warrior Project. So I contacted them, and they approved the concert, and we just started working on it. I'm actually right now sitting in my car outside the studio, the rehearsal studio, right in the middle of rehearsal. I have many really, really top singer-songwriters from South Florida coming out for the event, and if it's okay to mention their names, I mean, they don't mind if you don't mind.
Tell us the whole thing, man. That's what it's all about.
We have Bill Hartman from Hartman Music. We have Newell Bates, who owns the studio Beto Music, where I do all my work at. He'll be playing with Joanne Tremonti, another songwriter. We have Steve Minotti, who is working on his second CD, who's been here down here for a long time. Robert Bidney, who just finished a fantastic CD. He'll be doing numbers from that. It's all about the love, which is very appropriate for this. And my band will be playing another band called the Stray Dogs. The whole atmosphere, the majority of the songs will all be original. There'll be a lot of songs that have to do with the 9/11 and the Wounded Warrior Project. And also, a lot of it's just going to be fun. We're going to rock out. We're going to have a good time. Going to be a lot of people. great food. It's down at Gigi's Music Cafe, 44th and Sunrise. And we're just looking forward to having a really, really fun night. And that's about it. That's what we're doing.
I definitely am looking forward to being there. I also, you know, as a person, you know, Paul, you're in long-term recovery. And one of the things that I appreciate about your message is that you never give up. And as a singer-songwriter, that really took place for you after you got sober, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I had messed around a little bit when I was young, and then I didn't for a lot of years, and then I was just a real mess for a lot of years. I couldn't even afford a guitar. I was homeless, you know. And when I got out of treatment and I went to halfway, I had a job already, and the first thing I did, I bought a cheap guitar, and I started playing, and it's just gone from there, and it's been amazing. You know, I've been to your event, Rockin' in Recovery, twice. I've been involved with that, and that's just – I look so forward to that every time that you have that, being involved, you know, behind the scenes as well as being able to perform. And you know, and I do other things for other charities. You know, people say to me, well, how much money do you make doing it? And I tell them, I got a job. And they say, well, how come you do it? And I said, to keep from killing you. You know, just – it just keeps me grounded. It's what the bass is. The music helps keep me grounded. I'm very fortunate. I was older when I got sober. I was very fortunate. I have a wonderful support group. I have a God of my understanding. I have like-minded people in a 12-step fellowship that I surround myself with. You know, and I work with a lot of newcomers and you know, and just do the whole deal. You know, and the music is just a byproduct of all of the other wonderful, wonderful things that have happened to me, you know, and I love it, and I love doing it, and you know, guys like you that appreciate the guys like us that you know, we've all just put one foot in front of the other, trying to do the best we can and help out the next guy, and you know, and have a good time doing it. This is you hear they say in the book, we're not a glum lot. Well, we're not, and I go a lot farther than that. It's all about goodness, and it's all about the smile, you know, and enjoying yourself and enjoying your life. You know, we weren't placed here to be miserable. God wants us all to be happy, and I firmly believe that. So that's what I carry. That's my message of hope, is just goodness and happiness, you know.
Well, you know, that being said, it's sometimes I think it gets hardened in the community, the recovery community, that there's only one particular way to carry a message. And, you know, when other people think outside the box or they start to do other things and it doesn't conform right with what the recovery community thinks that is, a lot of people get their opinions in a knicker, in a knot. Why do you think that is? Do you think it's fear? Why do people go in that direction?
You know, when people get locked into a certain way of things, they're afraid something else may not work or not, you know what I'm saying? There's no way to do it right. It's just doing it right, doing it the right way. The only thing, the bottom line is reaching your hand out, helping the next guy, not hurting anybody, having it, you know, enjoying your life. And there's so many ways. There's so many ways in this community that you can reach your hand down and do that. You know, I do it in recovery and I do it outside recovery, like with the Wounded Warrior Project or the autism charity that I'm involved in, you know. But I wouldn't have any of that if it wasn't for the recovery first. You know, the recovery always comes first. You know, the 12-step fellowships always come first. But it doesn't matter if you're doing it with music, if you're going to church, if you're playing music, if you're going to meetings. You know, the thing is, just do it. Just do something. Find your spot. Find your spot where you're happy, where you're content, and then enjoy it. You know, and run with it, man. Run with it with everything that you ran out there trying to get high or get drunk or whatever you were doing. You know, if you put all that effort forward in here, you're going to smile, and you're going to make somebody else smile, and you're going to help somebody, and somebody's going to live because of you, and you're going to live because of you, you know?
Well, you know, it's about giving that message of hope, and it's about giving, you know, putting a hand out. No matter, I don't care if you have day one or day 100 or 100 years, you put your hand out, and through that, people are able to be helped, and that's the message that I got loud and clear when I came in, you know, into the recovery community.
What the recovery community is supposed to be all about.
Yeah, absolutely. What's on the agenda after this event? You guys got
well in October. Yeah. Well, in October, on October 17th, I did it last year. They started a yearly thing. It's called Sobriety Rocks. They have it up at the 101 Club, which is an AA clubhouse. It is not Alcoholics Anonymous. They have many. It's a recovery clubhouse. They have AA meetings there, NA meetings there, CA meetings there. And they have a big parking lot, and we set a stage up last year, and we had 7 bands, and we came out, and we just rocked the house. You know, they call it a battle of the bands, but who gives a damn whether you win or whether you don't win? You know, you're having a good time. You're celebrating recovery. It's what it's all about. You know, we're having fun. We're rocking the house, man. You know, we got vendors, we got DJs, we got judges, we have good-looking girls. You know, we have the whole thing going on. You know what I'm saying? Something for everybody. You know, I said last year when I was there, I play in a band with my son. My oldest son is my bass player. My grandson is my drummer. And it's an amazing, wonderful, wonderful experience to be able to do this. You consider I was estranged from my children at one time. But it was funny because my ex-wife is the mother of my children and the grandmother of my grandchildren. And so she comes to the shows too. And we do get along now. And so I got up there and I said, I'm the only rock star here tonight because I'm the only one that has 2 wives in the audience. You know, because I'm married again.
Funny,
you know? Yeah, it was hilarious. It was funny. You know, I don't know if anybody got it besides me, but I get a big kick out of myself, you know. So
you got 3 generations on the same stage. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's absolutely wonderful. Yeah, we have a great time. I don't know how good we sound, but we have a lot of fun. We'll be playing your event this year. I'm just letting you know now. Okay.
Well, we're looking forward to having you back at our festival, you know, the Love of Recovery Music Festival every year, February, and this year it's February the 13th, and it's at C.B. Smith Park, so we'll look forward to people coming out in 2016.
I wanted to make sure we got that plug in right away.
For
your festival, you know.
Hey, Paul, let's ask one more question, and I think that you know, this is important. If you had somebody or if you had to tell people right now exactly, you know, what your commitment is to recovery and something that might help them, what would it be?
My commitment to recovery is helping the newcomer. That's my biggest thing. Okay. I don't get involved in the politics of recovery or Alcoholics Anonymous or who did what to who. My thing is when you walk into the rooms, whether it's the first time you've been there or the 10th time you've been there, my hand is out to you. And because you never know when it's that person's time to walk in the sunlight. And that's what it's all about, man, is making that person smile, making them feel at home, giving them a hug, you know, and showing them you can enjoy life. You can enjoy life. It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way of life. You know, and in a nutshell, that's what it is for me, is reaching out, helping the new guy, and putting a smile on their face.
Well, I think that what you just said has oodles be said for your recovery and, you know, what you do. Cause I see you walk this and I've seen you walk it for years. I want to thank you for coming on and being a part of, you know, the show tonight. It's been great. And we look forward to being with you. We're going to come up to the 9/11 tribute concert and give us the address one more time and the date.
Okay, I don't have the exact address with me, but it's on the corner of 44th and Pine Island in Sunrise. It's Gigi's Music Cafe. Just Google it and you'll get the address. It's a nice place. It's a nice little restaurant, so all ages are welcome.
And that's 9/11, and what time does it start?
7 o'clock, 7 to 10:30.
7 to 10:30.
There's an event on Facebook. You go to my Facebook page, Paul Steven Wilson. It's on there. It's all over the place. You can find it. And I'm looking forward to it. And, John, thanks so much for having me on in perfect time because you guys are standing here tapping their foot wanting to get back to rehearsal. So do me a favor, okay, when you get to your next segment, tell Janet I said hi. I haven't seen her for a while, okay?
I definitely will. And, listen, Paul, again, thank you for being on the show.
All right, buddy. I love you, man. Thanks, John. Bye-bye.
Love you, too. Bye-bye. There you go. Paul Wilson. There he is, kicking it out there, carrying a message through music and however he can help another human being. Janet, how you doing tonight?
I'm good, John. How are you?
By the grace of God, I'm above dirt.
Oh, thank God for that, huh?
Paul Wilson just went off and he told me to tell you hello. He misses
I
you.
Heard that. I told. Yeah, I haven't seen him in a while since the last Rockers in Recovery.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Paul's got a great message. So let's talk about recovery, because you know something, I'm somebody that really needs to absorb as much information on recovery as possible. So and I got such a great informational source with you that I want to ask you some pretty cool questions tonight. The first thing is that, you know, before you became a part of the field of the substance abuse and you started working in the field, you started out with day one. How was that for you?
I started out what?
With day one. What was that like
day
for you?
Day one when I first got sober? Day one?
Yep. Ugh. Yeah. What was that like
day
for you?
Day one was, what was it? Well, let me tell you. It was my first meeting. When I walked into my first meeting, I sat down and I knew I was in the right place. I knew that other people knew, you know, that what my problem was. And it gave me the first ray of hope. And I can remember at the end of the meeting, you know, I was sitting there and I really didn't know what was said. I don't remember who was speaking. But I remember the smiling faces, the happy faces, and then I remember someone saying, hey, does anybody want to pick up a white chip and start a new way of life? And, of course, me being who I am with my big ego did not want to get up in front of anybody. However, God saw fit to get my ass up, and I walked down and I picked up that chip, and I knew with that chip I didn't have to drink again. I knew it.
In that day, you've gone through so many things, and with, you know, the building of your faith, how did you find building your faith and, you know, working the step process? How did that all work into place for you in that time period?
Well, in the beginning, you know, when we first get sober, there's such a fog that you don't really hear a lot of things. And the only thing that I could do correctly was go to a meeting on a daily basis. You know, I didn't hear, you know, get a sponsor. I didn't hear go to 90 meetings in 90 days. I didn't hear do not get into a relationship your first year of sobriety. You know, so I did all those things wrong. You know, the only thing I did do right was, you know, not take a drink one day at a time. And eventually, you know, as the fog lifted, I got a new pair of glasses. And I got to see that, wow, the trees are pretty green today. And wow, you know, how did I stay sober? And, you know, I knew that it was through the grace of God that I stayed sober. So I did eventually get a sponsor after like 4 months, and I worked my steps, and, you know, it was an experience. But, you know, my journey in sobriety is, for me, it's spiritual. It's more of a daily spiritual journey, and I'm so grateful for it.
Do you believe when a newcomer is coming in the door and they hear that, you know, there's a lot of times where, you know, people don't want to, you know, a newcomer does not want to believe that, you know, they say, yeah, okay. And until they go through that process and really understand that you can have a spiritual experience through your steps, it's an amazing process. What do you say to that person that's in that position right now that's holding on to their seat?
I just tell them, you don't have to believe in anything. You don't have to believe in anything. Just keep coming to a meeting. Just sit down and listen and absorb and, you know, like, don't compare yourself to anybody else. You know, identify with the feelings. You'll get it. You know, because I do believe that everybody will get that spiritual experience sooner or later.
When you crossed into that area where, you know, you became on fire for helping others. And in that part of that process was you going back to school and you know, making a commitment to, you know, not only your recovery, but furthering your education and being able to help people in the substance abuse field. When did that take place? About what time of your recovery?
Well, what happened was, I got divorced. I divorced my husband finally after 18 years, and I needed a job with insurance. So I had an opportunity to go work at House of Hope down in Broward County. And, you know, I went from, you know, making really good money as a hairdresser down to making $10 an hour, you know, and I only got paid twice a week. But it became the passion because I was able to interact with mostly DOC clients, and to watch the process of them, you know, getting recovery. So when I said I have to do something, like, you know, because I had been in recovery for a couple 24s, and then I decided that, you know what, I've been giving away my knowledge. I've been giving away, you know, because it's, you got to give it away to get it. I said, but you know what, maybe I can make some money at this. Maybe I can, you know, make a little bit of money. So I went to school, and it was probably the best thing I ever did. You know, I went to the Academy of Addiction Professional, and I will give a shout out to Ben Braffman, because he gave me the opportunity to go to school there. And then I went to Union Institute, and I graduated from there. And then I got my CAP license, and what's amazing, I've never had to ask for a job. You know, everybody that I've worked for has asked me to come on board with them, and well, that's a miracle, because if you knew me before, you probably wouldn't want to hire me. So it's I live in the program that you know gets you where you need to go, beyond my wildest dreams.
Mm-mm-mm. And now today, you are involved with Break the Cycle up in Ormond Beach. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Tell us about it. I love what you're doing up there. Tell us about it.
I tell you what, the Daytona. I'm more north of Daytona. I'm in Bunnell. I have my office in Bunnell. We're an outpatient facility. I am the drug court provider for the Seventh Circuit, which is unbelievable. We have a great bunch of people that are on a team. We have the judges. We have police officers. We have a doctor on the team. We have probation on the team. And these people, same as Broward County, you know, you have to have a felony drug charge, and you get to have the opportunity to come into drug court. It's a year program, and you get to go get clean and sober. You know, the requirements in the beginning are tough, you know, but once you get through first phase, then it's pretty good. So, and they get jobs, and I watch people, you know, get better. I get to see the families, you know, reunite. I get to see them get a job, and it just, it's truly, you know, it is, I am so passionate about my drug court. It makes me very happy. Don't make a lot of money, but you know, it's not about the money. And then we also work with felony probation. You know, not everybody, but there's a lot of drugs going around. And, you know, at least this gives you the opportunity to make it right. You know, we get to educate the clients. We get to, you know, teach them something. And if nothing else, I'm going to ruin their high.
You're funny. How can people find more information about Break the Cycle?
You can go on our website. It's breakthecycle12.com. We also have we just opened another intensive outpatient program down in Daytona, another office, which is great. And, you know, we take most major insurances. IOP is 3 days a week, 3 hours a day. That's more intense. You know, you get to work with a therapist more intensely. You get to get more one-on-one sessions, and you know, it's just a little bit higher level of care. You know, like say for instance, you go to detox and you don't want to go to inpatient treatment, you can have the opportunity to stay at Solutions by the Sea, which is a sober living environment, and that it, for men, and then you can stay at Avenues 12 for women in Daytona. So it's been working quite well, and we've had good results with the clients.
Beautiful, beautiful. And in closing, I want you to give me the definition of your definition of evidence-based treatment. What does that mean to somebody? Because people hear it. What's evidence-based? Tell us a little bit.
Evidence-based treatment, I would say evidence. The evidence is that, you know, there's change. you know, the changing of the thinking, the criminal thinking and the cognitive thinking, getting the people to recognize, you know, this is, you know, so the evidence is that they finally get clean and sober. That's my evidence.
Love it. Janet, we are so happy that you came on with us tonight, and I appreciate everything, of course, that you do for Rockers in Recovery and the support that you've given to Rockers in Recovery over the years. And we look forward to, you know, doing this more and having you involved more with some of the content that we're doing. But most importantly, we look forward to hanging out with you and doing some rocking and rolling, too.
Absolutely, buddy. I miss you. I, you know, we'll have to get together when I come down next time.
Sounds great. I'm looking forward to it. And listen, again, one more time with the with how they can go and find you on the web.
You can find us at breakthecycle12.com.
I love it. You have a great night, Janet. Thank you for being on the show.
I love you, John.
Love you, too. Talk soon.
Bye.
All right, guys, there you go. It's another show. You know, any day that I'm above dirt, I'm not drinking, I'm not using, it's a great day for me. When I can surround myself with great people like Paul Wilson and Janet Johnson, and I have these people in my life to be able to reach out to, it's a beautiful day. Great weekend. Happy Labor Day to everybody. Happy Labor Day weekend to everybody. Be safe. Be loved. Enjoy your weekend.